This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wednesday night is the only night you can listen to Tech Vibe Radio. Of course, unless you download it from iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Play and all the other great places. But I think hearing us on the air is way more fun than downloading. What do you think, Audrey?
Either way.
Yeah.
Either way, as long as you're listening.
I know. It's been a crazy, like, end of summer. We've hardly been in the studio together. I'm glad to be
I know, we really haven't.
I know. It's been...
So this is... There's, you know, walking into fall, yep. Walking into a new decade.
Isn't that crazy? Like 2020? Like,
I know.
Oh, jeez.
What was that song? Oh, 2025. In the year 2525, I was thinking.
Five more years.
No. That's 2525.
I mean, that's, yeah, 500 more years. Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot more years from now.
It's been a long day.
It's been long already, but it's great. No, it's a great time of year here at the Tech Council. You know, we celebrate all these companies who are the rising stars of tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's always a ton of fun.
Tech
it's 50s. Very it's so inspirational to see people who are just, you know, hitting the bat over and over again, trying to punch it to the future.
It's just a couple weeks away, too.
A couple weeks away,
September
which is
25th.
Always great. It's really important to, you know, in this day and age when you have less people that are moving mm-hmm. into our city, and the issue is that as our city is not necessarily growing, there are incredible things that are happening, and if the whole community doesn't celebrate that and become a part of that, it just becomes more difficult.
Definitely.
For what it's like to attract. I mean, let's face it. Every city says they're the best city.
Of course.
I mean, you can go to like Saginaw, Michigan, and they're going, we're the tech hub of America. No disrespect to anyone who's from Saginaw. But
where'd you pick Saginaw from?
I was thinking of Michigan. This is a great time of year to be up in Michigan.
It's a wonderful time.
It's a wonderful time.
I hear Saginaw's number one.
Is it?
Let's go and check it out. Get some fall foliage.
I think it's like Travis City or something.
Yeah, okay.
It's
cool.
A tech hub of America. So everyone's trying to figure out what's the next.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I've been at this for too long and I'm, you know, have like a little bit of a jaundiced eye, but
yeah.
The data is sort of telling, right? The data is that people aren't moving into Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's very flat.
And there's credible things that are happening. You go into Lawrenceville, you go into Strip, even Millvale, you go on the other side. It's cool things are really happening. But we still are not attracting those companies that have their profit and loss here, the new companies. Now, I know we just had a company that said they're opening up like 500 people on the North Shore, a company called, I believe, Affirm, and they're bringing some tech sort of related kinds of jobs here, not necessarily
tech, per se.
Yeah, it's
exciting. Absolutely.
And, you know, that's great for the economy. Hopefully, they'll find some incredible talent here. But will they scale to become something bigger here? Probably not.
Always be that same kind of size office. And that's good, but it's not transforming.
It's so good. The variety is so good. But what's not so good is that we haven't had companies that really hit it out of the ballpark.
It's been a very long time.
Create wealth.
I'm thinking of like
opportunities for other people.
Yeah, like the free markets and the four systems of the world.
Right.
And that was, you know, a decade ago. Longer than that. Almost.
No, it's two decades ago.
It's like, oh, man, like, I forgot.
Yeah, you fell asleep.
2020, I know.
I know. You fell asleep. So it was two decades ago. And, you know, when you have that kind of contagion, it does create attention onto a region. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves what's working, what's not working. A lot of conversations continue to be had around the air quality.
I'm still surprised that doesn't register even higher in people's complaints of Pittsburgh.
Well,
or for
it will
companies,
be interesting.
You know, wanting to locate here, are they taking that into account? Because you know me. I love this city. I love this region.
Right.
But I'm actually fed up with the air at this point.
Are you?
I am. Every morning I wake up, all I smell is exhaust fumes. And I live in Edgewood. And I ride my bike to work. All I smell is exhaust fumes.
So I go to the app Smell PGH.
Yes. That's one of your favorites. Yes.
I keep that. And I also do the AQI.
Okay.
Where I'm actually see the sensors all throughout the region.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Data.
Something in your neighborhood out that way.
I've heard
there's industrial.
Yeah, I think it's all the stuff that blows in from down the river, from the mills and the coke works or what have you, and it tends to settle in my neck of the woods. And
mm-hmm.
Being pretty close to the parkway, I don't think helps matters either. Especially during the past summer months when it was hot and humid, it just seems to be like this thick layer. And literally, there are times when, like, if you would leave town, say, I'd roll out to like the Laurel Highlands, or just go out towards Murraysville, for crying out loud.
And you
just
can feel the difference?
And it's like, oh my goodness, like, my lungs don't feel
jammed
up.
Well, you cycle. So you actually have, you'd be a good barometer. So
it makes me afraid, because when you cycle, you breathe deeply.
Right, you breathe so
and
deep.
So I'm afraid I've been sucking in tiny particulates, and they're deep down in my lungs somewhere at this point, after 25 years of doing this, you know. But who's to say? But I do say air quality, I think, is a big deal here for Pittsburgh, and I wish we would really put a plan together to tackle it, because there's a balance. I want these industries making stuff.
Right. And, I do too.
And, I want that going away.
But
I want to be able to breathe too. So how do we find that balance, I guess, right?
And what's our reputation?
Right.
The thing is, what is our reputation? Whether it's, you know, we were rated like number 7 or 8 in worst air quality in the U.S. And most of the other locations are on California.
I heard Saginaw's got better air than we do.
Saginaw has really clean air.
Yes.
So most of the other locations are in California.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
Like L.A. Mm-hmm. There's just, you know, a lot of
inversions and all that kind of fun stuff.
Well, right, but
jamming the air up.
But people are still moving there.
People are still moving there. So obviously it's not it's about the opportunities that they're going to have.
It's about
there.
The opportunities.
Not the
and
air
what,
they're going to breathe.
I
don't know. I want to have good air and opportunities.
I get that. I totally get that.
Exactly.
And for those people who have lived here for a long time, they think the air is amazing because of what they were used to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all had the horror stories from our grandparents.
Do you remember the air being dirty when you were little?
I can remember in the mid to late 70s as a kid living in Squirrel Hill, especially on Sunday evenings, the air was just acrid. And my dad would always tell me that's when they opened the battery doors to clean them because the EPA
that's
wasn't
what I
sniffing.
Heard.
And I mean, I don't know if
on
that's
Sunday
true or
nights,
not,
right?
but at the end of the day, I mean,
the
I remember
sky would turn red.
Sunday nights, the air seemed different and it definitely smelled awful. And some of these kind of smelled a little good, kind of like the smell of gasoline as a kid. You're like, hey,
I like gasoline.
Now you're like, oh man, what was I breathing when I was 7 years old? But yeah, we don't have those days at least anymore. But
no.
But now it's like a lighter version of that. I seem to wake up to every morning in Edgewood. So.
That's sort of interesting. So what we're doing at the Tech Council is actually doing a little bit of some survey work in the fall and working with companies to find out those people who newly moved here and are in a lot of these high-skill jobs, what is it that they're finding?
Yeah.
In terms of being here.
I saw the first focus group here, and I was really excited about it. So I
really
cannot
excited.
Wait for us to get that data, and we can talk about that on air and let our listeners know. This is what the Tech Council is working on, because we know tech companies succeed because of people, and we need more of them to come to Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, we do.
Simple as that. Well, Audrey, we got a fantastic show in front of us today. We have Jim Penna from AT&T stopping by, talking about all the investments AT&T's been making in the area, which I think is just super exciting. And we have Avi Geller from Maven Machines, a really cool company. I love what these guys are up to when it comes to the truck driving industry. And also, I did a little pre-recorded session with our friends at Industrious. They're opening up a second co-working space because the demand is so great for co-working
here.
Where
are they opening?
So they're currently in downtown, and they're moving over to Gateway, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll double-check with them on the
new
location.
Two offices?
They're going to have two now.
Nice.
Which is really, really cool. So I'm excited about them doing what they're doing. So anyhow, Tech 50, as you said, I'll be right around the corner on the 25th of September. It's our 23rd Tech 50, I believe. Isn't that amazing? After 23 years, we still sell this thing out. Like 700 people showing up at the Wyndham. Great stuff. I always get excited seeing all those name tags out there on the table. I'm like, wow, everyone's here to celebrate tonight. So anyhow, keep your dial tuned right here to Tech 5 Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
We'll be right back in a quick break. Co-working is definitely taken over Pittsburgh. It's really exciting stuff to see how spaces have been growing and emerging here in the Pittsburgh market over the past decade. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council here on Tech Vibe Radio, and we're ready to nerd out about all things co-working. We're hanging out with Industrious. They have some great spaces in Pittsburgh. I mean, this is like the high-end stuff when it comes to all things co-working in Pittsburgh, because your spaces are amazing. And so we have Julie Hawthorne with us and Anthony Battistella from Industrious. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thanks Absolutely. For having us.
Yeah, good stuff. So first off, Julie, tell us about yourself real quick and what you do with Industrious.
Yeah, for sure. My name is Julie Hawthorne. So I'm a community manager with Industrious. So basically what that means is it's my job to make sure that you're having the most productive day at work possible and providing everything that's needed in an office space. So my position, I take care of the 31st floor PPG. And Anthony?
I am also a community manager as well. My role is a little bit different at the moment just because I'm launching a brand new location. So
there's a little pressure going on.
There's nobody or space to manage currently, but right now my big focus
You're
is
like,
local
this job's
marketing.
Easy, man. No one's asking for anything.
No, there's actually quite a bit of pressure just in terms of hoping that we get a good amount of occupancy before we open.
Of course. Yeah. Right. So first off, tell us about this new space, because as we kind of led into this segment, I think Industrious has really branded itself in Pittsburgh. It's not just providing co-working space, but when you check out your space, it's highly polished stuff.
Yes.
Like this is like, I mean, it's like legit. Like yeah. you roll yeah. up there and coffee's waiting for you, like the finishes, the views, everything is just really top end. And it just seems like an awesome place where if you're going to be co-working and hanging out, like.
Yeah, it's the place to be for sure.
Right. Definitely. So a bar has been set for you, right?
Yeah, it has. So
so tell us about this new space and how it's going to complement what's going on.
So PPG did set the bar really high. It is a beautiful space that sold extremely well, and our members there are extremely happy as well. So that kind of just really pushed us to open a new location here in Pittsburgh. We saw a need for it.
Yeah.
So this, in terms of differences, the second one is 10,000 more square feet than the
wow.
current location.
Okay.
And we are on two floors as opposed to the one that we are in PPG.
Do you like a fancy elevator that connects them?
I don't. We're just, it's okay. just the one. But I wish that would be cool.
A fancy stairwell.
that counts. Yeah, you know, that counts.
But so in terms of what we'll be offering is space for larger teams in this office. So right now at PPG, you'll see a lot of 1 to 2 person offices, okay. entrepreneurial businesses.
A lot of people think of co-working spaces mm-hmm. just for these one and you know, the startup type
right.
companies because they want that flexibility with co-working space. But
exactly.
this is for larger people or larger corporations.
Since PPG opened 2 years ago, we've realized that there isn't a need for companies that have 4 to 6 person, but even larger than that, we have 2 executive suites that fit up to 40 people.
Wow.
So really okay. large companies can come in and really make themselves at home in the co-working space and benefit from all the amenities that Industrious offers.
Definitely. So, Julie, tell us about just some of the basic amenities that you get with Industrious, no matter what location yeah. you're at, whether it's PPG or the new location.
Oh, absolutely.
What is the basics of
For
being
sure.
an Industrious?
So something pretty unique to Industrious, I think, in terms of the co-working world is that everything you see when you come in on a tour is included in the cost of your office. So that includes all of the amenities. So things like we do daily breakfast, and Industrious puts a huge emphasis on local business. So everything that's brought in and catered for breakfast is local. So for instance, we get delicious Bluebird bagels twice a week. We get great Mediterranean pastries twice a week. Our coffee's from Commonplace. And so that's just kind of the very basic setting. But it goes up to everything that's needed to make an office successful. So
right.
that's secure Wi-Fi logins for each individual that comes onto the floor. That's your conference rooms that are state-of-the-art with video conferencing technology. It includes, a beautiful common space to be able to meet guests and conduct meetings or events. So, really everything that you need to have a productive day and to make you proud and excited to be
Definitely.
At work.
Yeah, get you charged up because it's all
yeah.
about your work environment.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like I'm all about like being scrappy and all and
oh,
making
yeah.
sure you can work on top of a cardboard box when you
right.
have to.
Right.
But if you get to a
sure.
point where like you want some space, you want to be nice,
yeah,
but you don't
want some credibility.
You want some credit and give you some,
yeah.
have some credibility, but not have to worry about the day-to-day running of your own office.
Right. Exactly.
You guys do that for
exactly.
for your clients and
yeah, sure.
stuff like your tenants, should I say?
Yeah, if you're an entrepreneur, you don't have all the time in the world. You know, your time is precious.
Oh, there's plenty
of
time when you're an entrepreneur. All those extra hours
sure.
in the day, just wondering
yeah,
what to
exactly.
do.
Right. Right.
I think I
want to
deal with maintenance right now because the air conditioner's not working.
Exactly. Yeah. Or,
coffee
the printer
machine's
breaks down.
Yeah,
and,
plenty of time
sure.
to deal with that.
No,
exactly.
You definitely want to do that.
Right. And I guess that's why I feel like co-working has really taken off around the world, obviously, and in Pittsburgh showing that trend is the fact that You roll into space, it's ready to go. You can conduct your business there, have an official address, but you're not worried about the day-to-day runnings right. of an office, right?
Yeah, these larger companies, I think, are noticing and learning about co-working and saying, wait, I don't have to provide the ink. I don't have to right. give these people coffee every day. I can move into a beautiful space, and they take care of everything for
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
That's
and
what it's all about.
Even professional development opportunities, you know, team bonding. These are things that are wonderful.
Team bonding?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, tell us about team bonding.
Absolutely. For instance, you know, we have, in a few weeks, we do lunch and learns. We do network after work events. We connect with local organizations. But yeah, in a few weeks, we have a lunch and learn. We're even doing like an aromatherapy lunch and learn. We have
aromatherapy lunch and learn.
We had massages yesterday. Wow.
Okay. So you guys are getting way too fancy for me.
I know.
Right?
I know. But these are things that, you know, make you attract and retain the best talent
Definitely.
That you don't necessarily have the time to set up as,
gotcha.
As a CEO or as an office manager.
Right. So when's the official opening of the new space?
It is September 30th.
September 30th.
Yeah.
Wow. So pressure's on.
The pressure is on.
So has there been interest, people checking out the new space as it's being built up and ready to go?
Yeah, it is. We actually have a few offices that have already sold.
Okay.
It's funny. Some people can walk into a construction zone and see, you know, a space and be like, I want it. I'll
right.
take it.
They see the view. Right?
And it's not what they see. It's what they know that they're going to get with Industrious.
Exactly.
And it's our promise, our values that really sell the space.
Wow. And so I guess, I mean, only here 2 years and you're already obviously doubling your space, more than doubling your space as far as that goes. I mean, that's a really, that's Pittsburgh's moving and grooving. What do you see as driving the growth and the need for co-working here in Pittsburgh?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think Pittsburgh in general as a city is, I mean, I moved here about 10 years ago. I'm not originally from here.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
I thought I sent some yin.
I know.
You. No, okay.
I know. I'm an outsider, but I have, after 10 years, I like to say I'm from Pittsburgh. But
another five, we'll call you a Pittsburgh.
Fair. I'll take it. But I think, you know, the city's changed dramatically in that time.
Definitely.
I think just sort of the influx of especially tech companies, obviously, you guys know and have seen that.
Absolutely.
And I think really it's the talent coming out of our universities as well. It's our incredible, like I said, like our tech companies that are here, our medical background in the city. I think it's attracting a lot of talent. And it's also such an affordable city that I think you know, it brings people in, and it's an easy and fun city to live in. And I think people are realizing that and coming to Pittsburgh and needing a great space to work.
Definitely. It's great stuff. Yeah.
Pittsburgh's one of those cities that has a lot of these older companies that are starting, to learn about co-working. And so we have these older companies that are ready to kind of jump on an opportunity
right.
like this. And
it's a great opportunity for them to have some space, get their team more integrated into where the action's happening
right.
and our innovation zones and so forth. So it becomes a really easy, affordable way for them to do it. And they don't have to worry about managing and opening another office.
Exactly.
But they can have their people, and their people are probably pretty happy because they're not, you know, somewhere far removed. they're in the thick of it,
I guess.
Heart
of it, yeah.
In the heart of it all. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm just so pumped that like Industrious comes to Pittsburgh and you're like, I've been here for 2 years. Let's more than double our space.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just happening here. It's happening all over the country.
Definitely.
We're in 45 cities. We have 80 locations.
Wow.
And we're projected to be at 120 by the end of the year.
Oh, so my goodness. Wow.
It's really growing.
Cool company.
Yeah.
If people want to learn more about Industrious and the opportunities here in Pittsburgh, where can they go and check you guys out?
Our address specifically?
Yeah, no, I mean the website.
Oh, the website. Yeah. So industriousoffice.com.
Just that simple.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. And if you go there, you can really check it out. And like when I say it, this is like high-end stuff, like I mean it. It's super polished. I love it. And as full
Thank
transparency,
you.
My brother-in-law has space in Industrious, and I've been there many times. And I'm like, wow, this is a really fun place to hang out. So you get my endorsement, that's for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Great, great stuff. And once again, another sign that, you know, Pittsburgh is doing its thing with all things tech, and they need space, and you
right.
guys are providing it, and we're seeing so many other co-working spaces popping up in Pittsburgh, so it's great to see all the different resources that are out there.
Yeah,
so.
And the people that are interested, we're happy to offer a free day of co-working in our spaces, so
you can get the full one-day
feel
experience.
Feel free to reach out and have the experience in Industrious and see if it's...
Pick the day when there's an aromatherapy session.
Yes,
definitely.
Or massages.
You get your money's
worth. Happy hour.
It's hard to not pick a good day at Industrious,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Absolutely. Great stuff, guys. Thank you so much for checking it out and hanging out with us, Julie and Anthony from Industrious. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. We'll be right back with a ton more Tech Vibe Radio. Audrey?
I'm good.
We've got some good friends always stopping by here on Tech Vibe.
I know. This is our old friend. He actually sat in for me once or twice.
I know. Absolutely.
Right?
There's no replacing you. I just.
He's a radio guy.
I carried some water while you were gone.
I know.
Time.
It was great.
He's a seasoned guy.
You were better than that.
Yeah. Season's one word for it.
Yeah. We have Jim Penna here from AT&T. Jim, always great time hanging out with you.
Good hanging out here, too. I always like coming in the building. You never know who you're going to meet in the front. You know, the lawyers out there working on their laptops.
We like being here.
Young tech people going on out there. It's a cool place just to walk in.
And that's why we love actually doing as much recording as we can here in our podcast studio, because it allows us to be a little more on the scene. So, yeah, good stuff.
They're around. I also like walking by your window to see who you got in here. Too.
Okay. Is that you? We see you always peering in there?
I look through your window, your front door. I don't really do anything here. I just show up.
Okay. It's all coming together now, Audrey. All coming together.
So what's going on with AT&T? There's some investments that are happening in this region.
Oh, well, that's ongoing. I mean, we had released some of the numbers from 2000.
Yeah.
To 16 to 2018.
I got the press release a few weeks ago and say, let's get Jim in here to talk about these numbers, because there's some pretty significant numbers that were going on there.
$150 million over that two-year span is a pretty significant amount of money.
That's a lot.
If that's for Pittsburgh, by the way. Nationwide from 2014, we're talking about, $140 billion. That's more money, more capital investment than any company in the United States has made.
That's
true? Impressive.
Yes, absolutely. No, I'm coming in here just making things up.
Bigger than Amazon?
Yeah, that's more capital investment.
Right.
I have no idea about their profit margin.
No, I don't mean their profit.
Fuller
margin.
Story right there. Yeah.
Yes,
capital investment.
Bigger than Amazon. That's the most money spent in capital investment since 2014 by any company in the United States. And there's good reason for that, too. Not only do we consider it an investment in our future, it's one of those things where it's an investment in now. You don't spend that kind of money. You don't make those kind of connections.
Yeah, because there's a need for the bandwidth and the data and everything that you guys are running,
right? It's the absolute demand from 2014. Over the last 10 years, the expansion of the use of data, the percentage of the network, has grown by 470,000%.
Will it ever end?
I mean, the next big thing will create the next big demand. But think about that. If you're in Lawrenceville and you had a pie shop and you sold pies and your business grew by 470,000%.
470,000%.
That's what requires the investment to keep up with that demand.
It's impossible.
It's not like there's been a population boom. This is the data that our brilliant folks are using and how much we use it in everyday lives. We figure out new and innovative ways to get mobile broadband involved in the smallest of tasks to make our lives more efficient, more pleasurable, smarter.
And we take it all for granted because I'm on the AT&T network.
It.
I flip my phone on and get my data and get my stuff. And I'm not thinking twice about not knowing that there's all this investment that goes behind.
Yeah, your network's a lot like an umpire at a baseball game.
Exactly.
You just expect that it's going to be right. In a moment, something's not going the way you think it should go, then suddenly
things aren't so good.
Exactly. I've been on the receiving of that once or twice. But fortunately for AT&T, not only is that growth in our 4G LTE network covers, 440 million people. 99.9% of the country is covered.
Is not covered? It's got to be some weird little sliver somewhere.
Apparently Munhall. I just got grabbed out in the lobby. It's not Munhall. I don't think that's true. I think there's probably a user error. But the last person that told me we don't have someplace covered is Munhall. But I know I have service in Munhall. So maybe
I got service in Munhall. I'm
probably
on
the better phone.
Man,
I don't know. That's what gets thrown out at me. So that kind of investment is important. And there's more to come in that because the next generation of this, I'm not going to let you jump ahead to 5G just yet because I know that's something that's always
I was
going to
talk about 5G.
We'll get the 5G.
Okay.
But just the small cell deployment in general. And it's an easy thing to explain to folks in the Pittsburgh region. You should think of it as a sort of an extra lane in the broadband highway. Because the traffic is
because it's up 470,000%. Imagine if it was the parkway.
And that's what I tell people. You're on the parkway, and let's say you're not at a complete dead stop, but you're crawling along. Right?
Exactly.
If suddenly there were an extra lane,
speed up a little bit.
And there are moments you're going, I wish we could widen these tunnels and put in two more lanes.
Oh yeah, we've heard that enough.
I would just like to level the tunnels completely.
You're on your own there. I've gone down a path I didn't mean to go down. Okay.
You also have a FirstNet communications platform.
Well, FirstNet is to shift gears to that. The FirstNet platform is a first responders platform that was the last of the recommendations made by the 9/11 Commission using Band 14 spectrum.
Yeah,
that is a high quality spectrum that the FirstNet. Governing authority, which was created by the 9/11 Commission, to help first responders. It's a priority for them. States had to opt in if they wanted to be part of FirstNet. First off, AT&T had to bid on and be selected
exactly
as the FirstNet provider. And thankfully, we were. Governor Wolf, in his wisdom, decided that Pennsylvania should opt in. And then it's up to the individual first responders, emergency service organizations. They have to opt in as well, get the necessary equipment to go on. But what it does is it gives them a priority and a clean way to talk to one another. And it sort of ramps up. Let's say if we had a multiple car collision and something spilled on Grant Street, and a lot of things have to go on. A lot of first responders have to talk to one another. And, of course, you've got a lot of folks down there who start talking to each other as well. What we learned from 9/11 is that the system started the jam. When you were on the radio, a little kid, you're trying to win those car wash passes. Everybody was calling at once. Sometimes you get a busy signal. Sometimes you get all the circuits are busy.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
You didn't get that message, but that kind of was going on. The FirstNet is allowing first responders to prioritize as they see fit. And if, God forbid, we had the worst possible scenario, and we think we all agree that 9/11 is that example to us.
Right.
There is a clean method of communications for those who are involved in the FirstNet system.
It's great to know.
To be able to talk to one another, because as much as we rely on firefighters and men and women who drive ambulance and the folks who show up and help people who are injured, mutual aid, they help each other. They need direct communication.
They
got to
be able to talk.
The coordination of these things are a vital thing, and I say it with great pride that we're the FirstNet.
It's awesome. No,
company in this here.
Without a doubt. So we've got a couple minutes left.
Yes.
With 5G. I mean, I know that there's lots going on to try to get things moving forward, and we're kind of lagging a little bit behind in the Pittsburgh area.
Well, you know, lagging is a difficult word. Pittsburgh is coming to terms with small cell deployments, which is a critical part of it. That's a part of what we have to do right now. That'll be the future of 5G. Think about that as a sort of the saturation that's got to go on. Currently, there's a bill in front of the state legislature, House Bill 1400, that streamlines that process. Allegheny County's got 171 municipalities, somewhere around there. Pennsylvania's got 2,500, something like that. So a uniform way that still gives control to local municipalities to help us and other companies like us to be able to get those things out there. Because the reality is, once we get those things in place, the 5G is inevitable, if not right away. And then all the brilliant companies we've got going on here in Pittsburgh, from automated cars to many things that Uber and Google and even a bunch of the smaller companies
and
are doing.
All the things I can watch on my phone.
All the things you can watch on your phone. 5G
exactly.
is going to – all those things – the reality is all those things are going to depend on what 5G will be.
Exactly.
It's mostly speculation until you actually have the roads that they can go on. And this is what's going to let your car know there's something coming around the corner.
It's literally the future, and the future is always here faster than we ever know. And I just – when I see the type of investment that AT&T has been making in the region, I just find that absolutely amazing. So glad we got to put a little bit of a spotlight on that, and let's keep investing. We like what you guys are doing. Let's keep it going.
We will keep investing. You guys keep doing the good work you're doing. If you don't mind me saying, your folks can check connectpennsylvania.com to check out how you can be supportive of House Bill 1400 and what that will mean to your company, your growth, both rural and in places like downtown Pittsburgh.
Makes sense to me. What do you think, Audrey?
I think it's great to always hear from Jim. He's fun, smart, and trying to figure out ways to move this region forward.
Awesome. Love the region, and things are moving forward. None of us can stop that. We just want to help it along.
Sounds like a plan. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We've got a lot more Tech Vibe coming right your way. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council, and we are celebrating Tech 50. It's just a few weeks away. Go to pghtech.org. You can learn more. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, every I almost said every Friday, but it's Wednesdays. It's still
it's every
it's
Wednesday.
So ingrained
changed,
in my brain.
We changed it, right?
Yeah,
we changed when we're on the air.
And it's been a month now we've been on Wednesday nights, and I'm still kind of getting used to it. But I like it. Wednesdays are hot. It's the best night of the week now because Tech Vibe Radio is on. And Tech Vibe Radio is synonymous for one thing. Talking to the coolest people in Pittsburgh.
Oh, God.
That's right.
Did
absolutely.
You hear that?
Yes.
I heard that.
I'm setting you up here, Avi. I'm setting you up.
Like, let's keep going.
Exactly. No, so we have Avi Geller here from Maven Machines. Really cool company. So glad.
Thank you.
You could spend part of your Wednesday night with us to fill our listeners in on all the cool stuff that Maven's up to these days. So.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
And real quick, what's your background with Maven and what got you linked up with getting Maven off the ground and all that kind of fun stuff?
Oh, yeah. So Maven's about 5 years old now. My background is from software development. I actually grew up in Palo Alto and went to MIT for computer science and lived in Israel for a number of years and worked for some of the largest software companies in the world and some successful startups along the way. And I guess about 6 years ago, I was looking to start my own startup company and wanted to do – my whole background is enterprise SaaS, you know, B2B software, mm-hmm. helping businesses, and felt that there's a real opportunity with what you might call Internet of Things type technologies with things that are mobile, with sensors.
Yeah, sure. That's the fun stuff. Are you kidding me? Heck yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So we set out to start the company and –
based on what? What were you thinking?
Initially, it was just a concept. It was, let's help industrial businesses run better.
So okay. Just
that's,
overall.
That's a big concept
that was
right there.
That was a big concept. Yeah. But you already had experience sort of doing that.
Yeah. So I worked at SAP for about 7 years, and we did that in the back office with ERP, mm-hmm. real-time data and analytics, and help companies run better in the office. So now the idea is, let's help them run better in the field with their operations.
Right.
And really, with just that, I came to Pittsburgh. I was looking at accelerator and incubator programs around the country. And heard about this program called Alpha Lab Gear.
Yeah. So Alpha Lab brought you to Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
What?
That's right.
Yeah, I remember
that's
that.
Awesome. That is cool.
I love you telling the story. All right. So that's great.
It was kind of love at first sight. You know, I was living in Boston. I went to New York and San Francisco, where I grew up, and Minneapolis and other cities. And as I, you know, came to Pittsburgh for the very first time and met all the great people that run InnovationWorks and Alpha Lab Gear mm-hmm. and some of the other startups, Alpha Lab Gear just finished their first cycle and I met some of those companies.
Right.
Right. So you were just super early in on all that.
Yeah. We were the second cycle.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was blown away.
So you
I signed
land
up.
There. I
yeah.
So you land there and you have this big idea.
Yeah.
And so then your idea takes shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk about that.
So it happened really quickly. You know, we started out with just $25,000 of funding and an empty room and an idea of let's help businesses run better. And very quickly looked at a lot of industries. And I mean, within 2 weeks, settled on the trucking industry as our first.
How'd you pinpoint that? Yeah.
Just talking to a lot of people, doing a lot of research. You know, right away I was introduced. This is the benefits of working in a program like Alpha Lab Gear. You know, there's events almost every day. And getting to know people and pitching your idea daily and people giving you feedback and comments mm-hmm. and ideas. So I met one of the very first people I met is a guy named Greg Troyan, who's the president of PGT Trucking. And went out to Manaca and met with them. They have about 1,000 trucks, flatbed, great fleet, and started talking about the technology and the ideas. And he said, you need to do this. And I got
you
a lot of feedback
idea and said
like
that. There's a customer here that would definitely be interested in that.
Exactly. So I basically started, you know, I said, I don't know if this is going to happen, but let's start working. And it just kind of kept getting better and better. The more we did, the more people we met, the more as we started, making prototypes and first versions. And we initially started with driver safety, like driver safety application on our platform. And it was, you know, there's a big need for it. And we realized this is a gigantic industry with a gigantic problem. And we are really well suited to solve this problem.
And so now describe Maven.
Okay. So today, Maven, we're 5 years old, we're 37 people, growing to about 60 as fast as we can.
Jeez, I love hearing that.
Great.
It makes me so happy.
It's
like,
great.
Yeah, we're growing to 60 people.
Yeah, and that's a start. We have hundreds of fleets that run on our technology. We're serving some of the most premier fleets across the country, and it's mission-critical software.
Yeah. So what's the software?
Yeah, how does it work?
Yeah, so we can call it fleet management software, which is really broad. It's kind of – they run their operations on our technology. Every driver is using a mobile device. Usually it's an Android tablet or Android phone, and that device tells them everything they need to know about their job of driving, from being compliant with – monitoring their hours of service, inspections, to the route that they're taking, to where they're going, every piece of information about what they're doing, the shipments that they're picking up or dropping off, or other activities they're doing while they're driving. It's a lifestyle experience, a workflow experience for them. And then in the office, all the dispatching, routing, load optimizations is all done in our system. So fleets with hundreds and thousands of drivers and doing over 10,000 shipments a day are managing the entire thing in our platform.
All on your platform.
And so they can work remotely. I mean, remotely, they can understand what's happening at any point in time.
That's right. It's all web-based.
It's all getting real time.
I guess back in the day, there was lots of manual processes, very archaic, where people are paper logs, probably writing down.
Yeah, back in the, way back, 2 years ago.
Okay, way back, 2 years ago.
No, but yeah, just a couple years ago, a lot is done on paper.
Exactly.
Phone calls, whiteboards.
Really?
Yeah. That's how fleets that are doing hundreds of millions or even
billions of dollars of business, like on paper and on whiteboards.
Paper, if they're advanced, they're using a shared Google spreadsheet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
If they're advanced.
So was it difficult to come in with an advanced solution? I mean, granted, they said they saw the need for it, but if someone's so used to using paper and pencil, all of a sudden, like, wait a second, I have this really heavy-duty, slick application.
Yeah.
Was there some cultural, we don't know how to use these types of things?
Yeah, there is one thing that really helped kind of catalyze movement here is there was a government mandate for electronic logging
of
service, ELD.
Okay.
So now fleets, they had to legally switch from paper logs to an electronic device.
Because people were fudging the logs and driving too much and accidents were happening.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, fatigue related.
Right.
So this mandate.
How are the unions responding to this?
They're actually for it because it kind of regulates the industry and keeps things more even and fair and actually prevents the I'm not an expert on this kind
of
policy or anything, but for the most part, organizations are for it. It's clearly helped from a safety aspect.
I believe it.
There are fewer accidents than there used to be. So it's clearly working, and the government's constantly – the FMCSA, which is the regulatory arm of the Department of Transportation for trucking – is constantly tweaking and improving the regulation and how to try to find that balance of allowing drivers to be as productive as possible with their hours, but at the same time keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
So as you ramp up, what kind of positions are you recruiting for right now?
So we're a very technology-heavy company.
Right.
More than half of our employees work in our R&D department. We're very light today on sales and marketing and roles like that. That's going to change as we continue to scale and grow.
At some point, you got to bring on more sales folks and more marketing
to
spread and everything, right?
Yeah, but we've been fortunate to date. I mean, a very limited effort on sales and marketing, we've attracted a lot of business. And it's been an effort, focus on our part, to meet the demand, to serve our customers.
And so how are people hearing about you?
It's a lot of word of mouth.
The industry's pretty tight-knit, so if someone sees someone using it, see the results, they got to be saying, I want that stuff.
Very much so. And we're working with some of the most well-respected, well-run fleets. So as they deploy our technology, other fleets are calling them and asking what they're doing.
Really?
And we have our customers flying to.
See, this just absolutely blows my mind.
Really?
This was an idea five years ago.
That's so great.
Just an idea five years ago.
Well, the idea that he had was cool.
I think
the lesson in some of this is that you have great experience in working in an ERP environment,
right?
Understanding sort of soup to nuts in terms of business.
Right.
And then you leave there and say, I want to build something around efficiency and effectiveness. I'm not sure. Then I get close to a customer in a short period of time.
So cool. I love it.
And then you say, okay, that's what I'm going to focus on.
It was really
That's really a great story.
Yeah, it worked out well.
In Pittsburgh.
And I love Pittsburgh. It's been what a great decision to come here. The time.
Keep talking.
Do you tell that to your family? Do you tell that to your family and friends?
Yeah, I mean every.
And what did they say?
They agree. I mean, so my friends and my mother just moved here from the Bay Area.
Really? All right. And, bringing people in. I like that.
And a lot of our workforce is not from Pittsburgh.
And what are they saying?
They love it here. You know, a number of them went to Carnegie Mellon University and have stayed.
Yeah, makes sense.
But not everybody. We have other people that went to various universities. We've hired people from Venture for America that moved to Pittsburgh.
Have you? That's good.
A lot. We hired three this year alone.
Amazing.
So we have a diverse collection of employees from all over.
So they'd be a good bunch of employees for us to talk to when we do our research on talent.
Yeah, I just got to follow through on our talent research.
We have to focus on talent and understanding what they're looking for, what their gaps have been, what their experiences have been.
Yeah. We put a lot of effort on hiring. It's the most important thing we do.
It has to be. That's your secret sauce is your people.
Right. At the end of the day.
Great.
So, Avi, we got about a minute and a half left, and I don't want to leave this point out because it's pretty cool. guys were part of the Pittsburgh National Trucking Competition.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
came
oh,
through
really?
Town. I thought this was pretty cool. Like, there's this whole competition. I mean, people like parking trucks on a dime.
Yeah.
And you guys were part of it. Tell us a little bit about the competition and why Maven was part of that.
Absolutely. So the NTDC, the National Truck Driver Championships, and we've been a part of this since day one for about 4 years now. And it was in Pittsburgh this year, and it's no coincidence. You know, Pittsburgh has some of the premier trucking companies in the country.
Definitely.
In Ohio and Ward and PGT and Modern Transport and others. And so it was hosted in Pittsburgh. It's an amazing competition. It's really a driver appreciation, and you should see how you know, how appreciative the drivers
so
are.
So when is it?
So it just finished this weekend.
Okay.
And we had a chance to host. We sponsored it, and we exhibited, and we hosted a great fundraising event and an event for our investors and customers, and we had a few hundred people there, and it was
awesome. I just love it. I just say,
Sorry,
the whole idea.
That.
You came to Pittsburgh.
Any shirts? Any t-shirts?
We have a lot of swag. I think we gave almost all of it out. you're welcome to come on down to Bloomfield.
I want a trucker's cap of some kind. Come
I know.
On,
something
cool. Avi, I can't thank you enough.
Bloom's
hey, coming
great.
To Pittsburgh and build your company, which
and
I
so
think is just so cool.
Website is?
And your website?
Yeah, mavenmachines.com.
Okay. Just that simple.
Great.
Yeah, Avi, you're the best, man.
Yeah.
We need
thanks for having
great.
Me.
We need 100 more of you here
so
in Pittsburgh.
Much.
Yeah, great stuff. Hey, Audrey, we got to take off. Another
that's,
Tech Vibe under
I know,
the belt.
That's great.
I can't get enough of telling these kinds of stories. I mean, come on, man. So much fun. So much fun. So every Wednesday night, keep your dial tuned right here. I like saying Wednesdays. It's our new night of the week.
I know.
Simple as that. Hey, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. And you can follow us on Twitter at pghtech.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.